Today on the Inside Flap.
I was single, met a very attractive, intelligent, funny woman.
Yes, you
did.
Did
the job. Yeah. And so we got to talking, and she said, "What are you doing on Friday night?" And I said to her, "How's this for a line? Whatever you're doing on Friday night."
Oh, look at that.
Well, I've never been a player, but I figured if she asked, why not?
She did ask.
She asked. Yeah.
Well, you know what what we were doing on Friday night?
Oh, no.
She was a recruiter for a cult.
Oh, no.
The Inside Flap is available on demand every week on iTunes, Stitcher, the Google Play Store, and around the world on theinsideflap.com.
Podcasting live from Littleton, Colorado. This is the Inside Flap Podcast, Inside Chat Edition. My name is Dave Medicus, and welcome to the show. Seated at the desk to my right is Laura Medicus.
Howdy.
Howdy. Thank you guys for joining in to our midweek interview segment we call the Inside Chat. And we are joined today by author Jeffrey Deaver. Really excited. We had a great conversation with him. We'll have that chat for you in just a little bit. We talked all about his new book, The Goodbye Man, which is really, really good. We talked a little speed walking. We talked about his formula. And we talked about the one time his hot date turned out to be a cult recruiter. So play the sad trombone.
Jeffrey Deaver is someone you could just,
Jeff introduced himself as Jeff.
He's someone that you could just pick up with and just start talking to and just have a great conversation.
He was a really nice guy. Yeah. It was amazing.
He did not have to be nice to us.
I mean, this guy's a famous author.
He could I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Just done a review, and it was a day of press he was doing, and man, he was so nice with us. Yeah. So anyway, the last time we recorded, just a few scant days ago, I was telling a story about how I was getting into biking because of my knee situation. You know, I'm a big runner. If you'll pardon the hashtag humble brag, do like to run marathons, do a couple train. I train for like a good solid 6 months.
That's not a humble brag.
And I run a marathon or two a year.
That's a well-deserved brag.
That's a very good. Yeah. I'll give myself a... there you go. Or maybe one.
Yeah, boy!
I'd rather have this. There you go. Good job. You did another marathon. Well done. Anyway, so I'm on the injury list right now, but I found out that I could do some biking, no problem. It's not, you don't have the impact of the force of the knee hitting the pavement, so I'm able to do some biking. The problem, of course, with the biking is the stupid equipment. And now I was just telling you guys about how I switched over from the mountain bike to the road bike. Had to go out to the bike store and make a special trip. All this kind of stuff to get the road bike ready, switch the pedals out, get a new tube for the back tire and a new tire for the back tire. That was all shredded up. Got it good to go. And then 2 days ago, went out for a little morning bike ride. And what happens? I'm about 8 miles out, 9 miles out, just getting ready to turn around when all of a sudden I hear this as I'm just going down the road in some random neighborhood somewhere. I heard this.
Oh.
And then, of course, that was not actually someone shooting at me, but that's just the closest replication I can get to the sound of my now front tire exploding on me with 100 pounds per square inch of pressure, however the hell you want to say it. The front tire blew. So last week it was the back tire. Now it's the front tire. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, no problem. This is the whole reason I went to the store, to get myself a backup tube. So I pop the front tire off the bike, take the tire off, and as I'm taking the tire off, I see that now this tire is completely shredded. It was just as old as the back tire that I just replaced, so I should have known better. I should have checked the front tire. It's got the metal strands, and those metal strands, over years of use, had pulled away from the rubber, and now they hit the tube. And then what you get from that is, as you're out riding, you get that. So pulled the flat, and now I have to suffer the ignominy of, as I'm standing on the side of the road in my spandex bike shorts next to my upside down bike with the wheel removed. I'm rocking the Pink Floyd bike jersey. You know, I got my matted down hair from the bike helmet, and now I have to suffer the slings and arrows of getting out my cell phone and actually calling the wife for assistance. So embarrassing. You know, nothing better, by the way, than standing in the middle of the road in nowhere suburbia in bike shorts and clippy shoes in the middle of some random
to quote our president.
Yes.
Sad. It's sad.
It's sad.
It's sad.
It's sad. It's sad. Yes, it is. So, yes, Laura, you had to come and pick me up, but I do appreciate that. I give you a nice little round of applause.
Well, I was having a relaxing Saturday. Mm-hmm. I'd, you know, taken some time, Dave, and I'd fixed myself a healthy but delicious lunch.
Ooh,
Saturday
lovely.
Lunch.
Uh-huh.
I was enjoying my alone time, which is, you know, it's not found a lot during
few
the pandemic.
And far in between to get a little alone time.
Just feeling happy with myself, my life choices.
Yeah.
And then I got that phone call, and you did it in a weird way, too.
Oh, I did. What
Yeah. Because you're like, well, my tire, my bike is flat.
Yeah.
And
it was.
I'm stuck. And I said, okay. That's a bummer.
Right.
Did you need me to pick you up? Because you didn't say anything about that. And you said, oh, I don't know if I do or not. I could just walk a little bit with this bike. I was like, why don't
no,
are
I
you
believe
gonna
what I said
ask me if you want to be
I said
up?
I said I could ride with the flat tire, which I have before.
Yeah.
When in a pinch you can ride, but then you run
but
the
there
risk.
Was never the straight up, hey, I guess could you come pick me up?
No, no, I was like, hey, how's that lunch? Good. Okay, yep. No, I'm just on the side of the road here in this neighborhood. Nice neighborhood.
I will say, though, well, it's not that nice.
No,
it wasn't. I was thrilled to be living in 2020 where you could drop a pin as to where you were.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I could do it.
I didn't have to try to figure out
where I
was.
I could send
it
to you, like, where I am.
Yep.
And in a million years, I never would have found you because you sent me the most complex suburban maze of streets.
Well, that my pin.
That
was
I
just
couldn't
my drop
have
pin.
Even, I know, but this is where you were, and like a rabbit warren.
Yeah.
I could never, like if I had to take a Sharpie or something and like to find you, you know, you have to go through, I'd have a tough time doing that just that way.
Yeah, it was weird. I don't know how I ended. I was on the Highline
like
Canal Trail.
Upon cul-de-sac among
and then
curvy street, dead ends.
I hit a little spur trail, and then that dumped me into some neighborhood somewhere. And then,
it was a suburban. Yeah,
I was getting ready to turn around before I got lost.
Not.
But, yep. Anyway, so
what do they call those knots? Do you know those knots that are like an infinity knot where you keep tracing it back?
Infinity knot.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Some kind of endless loop.
Yeah, it was an endless loop.
Huh. All right, well, I'll tell you who's not an endless loop.
No.
Jeffrey Deaver. Now, he is one of a kind and a great guy. He's our guest this week. His new book is called The Goodbye Man. Now, The Goodbye Man features the character of Coulter Shaw. Coulter is a reward seeker. Now, doesn't that sound great? This is different than being a treasure hunter. However, a reward seeker is someone who goes out and finds people that have a reward attached to them. In this case, the missing parties are two guys in their 20s who are wanted for having committed some hate crimes. Quickly, of course, Shaw, being the badass that he is, he finds them. However, in the process of wrangling them together, one of them actually jumps off a cliff and commits suicide.
Wow.
So these two guys were on their way to a nearby cult, and Coulter Shaw, senses something hinky going on here. He decides to go undercover in this cult to find out what is really going on. This book is fascinating, especially the cult stuff. There are many parallels to real life cults, and it's it's some seriously scary stuff. This is an excellent thriller, very enjoyable, and the nice thing is that you don't even have to join a cult to read it. But that'd be nice. I mean, that one cult I would join is the Jeffrey Deaver Reading Club, the Reading Cult.
Yeah, I join a lot of author cults.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then Jeffrey Deaver is certainly one. He is a number one international best-selling author of over 30 novels, including The Bone Collector, which was made into a major motion picture starring Denzel.
You can hear us talk about it.
That's right. And Angelina Jolie.
Can't not mention Denzel.
No, you got to, anytime you get a chance to bring Denzel up, you have to. And more important than that, he's a really nice guy and fun to talk to. We chatted with him a couple weeks ago about The Goodbye Man and had a really great time. So here is that conversation for you right now, Jeffrey Deaver.
Forever young.
I was talking about your marathon picture.
Oh yeah, you know that was the Pikes Peak Marathon. Just coming down, coming finishing that. We would run up the mountain and run down it. It was a hellacious. That was 2 years ago. Hellacious race.
I'll tell you, if I were running a marathon, what I would do is not run a marathon.
Well, you talk about some runners in your book. In fact, you have a really exciting running scene in the book where Shaw's running down, you know, trying to get down the switchbacks, and you mentioned the Tarahumara tribe.
That was all research, and I didn't know anything about that, you know, long distance running or rapid running. The fact that they would run 200 miles. I mean, can you believe that?
Yeah, they're.
No, I'll tell you what. You guys are on video. You may not necessarily want me to watch you. I don't care. It's fine with me. But I know this is not video, right? This is audio?
Oh, no, it's audio. Audio, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. All right, good. So if you can shut your camera off if you want. It doesn't matter to me. But
We found it. Hi, it's Laura also.
Hi.
We like to look at ourselves. It's no problem.
No, okay. That's not true. We found...
You want to pick your nose or anything, just go right ahead.
All right, very good. I mean, the audio, the video section is not being recorded.
Jeffrey Deaver just gave us permission.
Who knows? You know, clothes might be flying off. Wait a second, that's not going to happen. No, how are things in North Carolina? I'm Dave, by the way, and this is Laura.
Hi.
Hi, Dave and Laura. I'm Jeff.
Nice to meet you, Jeff.
I've been quarantined for about 2 months now, but this life is no different than the last 30 years. It really isn't. I have a partner, but she is, we have a couple of houses, and she had a compromised immune system from an incident years ago. Mm. So she's been locked down for 3 months. The first sign of, I think we had a first case here in North Carolina.
Wow.
Which spread to like four people in our area. So she's locked down now, and we're being very smart about it. I don't, I get out for a walk. I actually race walk, you know, that kind of silly looking thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But speed walk, really? That's awesome.
Yeah. And it's good. And actually, you guys are young, but if you ever get to the point where you know, the joints and bones from the pounding.
I feel it every morning. I feel it every morning.
Speed walking is heel toe, and right. it's there's nothing on the joints. And you know, in fact, the speed walkers. I think the marathon speed walker, the competition is 30 miles because it's a little less demanding, but the speeds are not that slower. I mean, they're slower. Obviously,
I bet they're not that much though.
And you just have to put up with the fact you look like a camel.
So I think the rules of that is that at least one part of your foot always has to be hitting the ground at all times. Or touching the ground at all times? Is that correct?
And they have soul watchers in the competition.
Wow,
really?
A soul watcher?
Yeah, spot soul watchers. And if they see you, you'll be DQ'd. You know, that's the way it is.
Oh yeah, because it's a jog. It could start turn into a jog.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Soul spotters, yeah. That's a different kind of soul spotting.
Yeah.
A different kind of soul spotters. So,
yeah, that's interesting. I always think of that movie, when I think of speedwalking, Dr. Detroit. I don't know if you've ever seen that with Dan Aykroyd.
No, but if it's got Dan Aykroyd in it, I'll look it up.
So. He plays a Dr. Detroit, and he plays a speedwalker in that one. It's a funny one.
Well, and nowadays, you know, who doesn't, I can't see my girlfriend, and so I'm binging a lot. I'm writing a lot. I'm working on two books and editing an anthology, writing short stories. I'm being, you know, productive, but also I'm into Ozark now.
That's a great show.
Are you on the new season? Season three?
Just second season.
Second season. Okay. Yeah.
I went to journalism school at the University of Missouri, and we would drive down there. It wasn't all that far from Columbia, Missouri. And it's that is spot on. I mean, it's the rich kids from Kansas City and St. Louis. And
right.
I guess they came up from Birmingham too, and then you know the locals
who
symbiotic in a way, but also kind of preying upon each other.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
It actually looks beautiful there, though. I'd like to go.
Yeah, where are you guys based? I don't have any information.
Oh, we're out of Denver, Colorado, so we're in a suburb called Littleton, mm-hmm. Colorado.
Oh, I know Littleton.
Yeah.
Well, of course, we all know Littleton.
Unfortunately.
We all know Littleton, yeah.
We're very close to Columbine.
I would have been at the Tattered Cover. I do that every year.
Yeah,
usually
yeah.
Lodo. I do Lodo. Now, they still have Highlands Ranch?
Yes, they do. Still? Yeah, yep. We live near one called, one in Aspen Grove.
Aspen Grove, right
near our
house. Right down the road here, yeah.
That replaced Cherry Creek, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look at you. Wow. Yeah, with your knowledge of a bookstore.
Yeah. It's 30, a great independent 30, one.
35 years of hitting independent. And this place called Borders at one point. Well, anyway.
I know.
Yeah. There was a B. Dalton's.
I used to love Borders.
Back. And Walden
Books. Yeah, yep. Walden you books. Go into the wall to the malls to find your Walden Books. Yeah. Sure. Man. Mm. But anyway, I'm sure if those books would be open, they'd prominently be featuring your new book, The Goodbye Man. I really enjoyed this one. The second in the series featuring the unique character of Coulter Shaw, a professional reward seeker who travels the country in his Winnebago searching for rewards. Where did the inspiration, I'm curious, and I really enjoyed this book, but where did the inspiration for this character, Coulter Shaw, come from?
Oh, thank you, Dave. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
We never know. We writers never know. Well, I'll speak for myself. I never know where the idea is going to come from.
Uh-huh.
I have a file in my computer, which I'm on right now, so therefore I can't swivel the camera and show it to you.
Right.
But it's called Ideas, and I'd click on that, and I'd have, I don't know how many Word documents, 30, 40, 50 Word documents in various stages of ideas. And where do these come from? I can't tell you. But I look for ideas that will let me write what is a typical Jeffrey Deaver book, and that is a formula, and I have no problem saying it's a formula.
Huh.
We don't get into cars that haven't been built by formulas. We don't get into airplanes that haven't been built by formulas.
Absolutely.
Why should we read books that haven't been built according to a formula?
Yeah. Tried and
the formula
true.
Is this? Yeah. The book takes place over a short period of time. There's a lot of internal reversals going on. Surprise endings, plural, because I like surprise, surprise after surprise after surprise.
Yeah.
And there is a driving question throughout the book, followed by other driving questions, so that every chapter, well, maybe several times, ideally, several times within a chapter, I raise a question or throw a stumbling block in front of my my character.
Mm-hmm.
So that's therefore you have the idea that let's say there's been a murder behind the church. How do we solve that? Well, that doesn't interest me. I like the idea of there's a murder behind the church with a note that said, tomorrow I'm going to hit a synagogue, and the day after I'm going to hit a mosque, and tomorrow I'm going to hit the Buddha, the day after I'm going to hit the Buddhist temple. Now we've got a question. Now you drive through and tell that roller coaster of a story. So I always look for, actually, that's not a bad idea. I'm going to write that down now.
Yeah, yeah. It is. I honestly pictured it in my head as soon as you said it. I was like, oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
so I heard a few years ago about a reward being offered by the State Department for $25 million for information leading to the location of one of these Middle East terrorists. I don't know whether it's Taliban or ISIL or whoever it was. Hmm. But and I thought, I had no idea that there's that much money being offered for rewards.
That's a lot of money.
And so I checked in the U.S., and there are more modest rewards, although some in the millions of dollars, leading to the discovery. Usually it's information leading to the arrest or leading to the discovery of, as opposed to, you get your AK-47 and go out and track this guy down. The police do not want that. So what the idea was, a fellow who travels around the country in his Winnebago and seeks rewards. He's basically Shane, the character from the old...
Yeah, Alan Ladd.
Your movie, and then the great novel by Jack Schaefer.
Uh-huh.
And it's an updated version of that. He's the gunslinger who comes to town, and he does have a gun. He doesn't use it very much, but he does have one. because it may come in handy. Usually he uses his mind to outsmart the villains and solve the problem. But he comes to town, gets involved with the locals, who may or may not want him there, and then solves the crime, we hope, and then moves on. And in fact, the Never Game, the first in the series, took Coulter Shaw to Silicon Valley mm-hmm. in California, where he investigated the disappearance of a girl, a student who worked for a computer company, and the story may or may not have had to do with a series of crimes being committed by a gamer, a psycho gamer, young kid. Mm. Well, the minute that book ended, there was a reward assignment in Washington State, and so that led us to the Goodbye Game, the Goodbye Man,
which
opened the day after the Never Game ended. Mm.
This guy doesn't rest. Coulter Shaw.
and the third book in the series, which I'm writing right now.
Oh, very good.
Starts 8 hours after.
Poor Shaw.
If you were a member of the Union of Professional Reward Seekers, I'd be getting a letter.
He'd be lodging a couple of complaints right now. He doesn't even get to enjoy his Winnebago, for goodness sakes. You know, always having to hook up with these different things. And speaking of hooking up with, he hooks up with a strange organization here, some kind of a cult-like organization. Now, did you join any cults to do research for this book? Is what I posed to you.
Interesting you mentioned that. Some years ago, I'll make the story short. Some years ago, when I was working in New York City as an attorney, I was single, met a very attractive, intelligent, funny woman.
Yes, you
did.
Did
the job.
Yeah.
And so we got to talking, and she said, "What are you doing on Friday night?" And I said to her, "How's this for a line? Whatever you're doing on Friday night."
Oh, look at that.
Well, I've never been a player, but I figured if she asked, why not?
She did ask.
She asked.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? What we were doing on Friday night?
Oh, no.
She was a recruiter for a cult.
Oh no! How long did it take you to realize this?
Anything, got me to the ballroom of a hotel, big ballroom filled with a couple hundred people.
No.
And it was. I don't remember the name, and even if I did, I wouldn't say anything because from what I've learned, these can be very pernicious and vindictive outfits.
Yeah.
And so I weathered it. They weren't, you know, it wasn't a real risk. I knew it was. I'd never join. I'm not a joiner at all. Yeah. Never in a fraternity. Never in a sports club. Just don't have any interest in that. So there was no risk to me. But it was scary. This room was filled with hundreds of people who, when the leader came on and, you know, spouted kind of self-help homilies and up with us, mm-hmm. we'll stick together. We have a common core. They became other people, and these were mostly professionals. You know, they were, maybe not Wall Street lawyers like I was, but they were people who had good jobs, families, and they were not like down on their out folks. But this guy worked his way into their lives, took their money. It was very expensive. I think I had to pay $30 as a, you know, entrance fee, mm-hmm. and then they to be surrounded by these chanting, shouting, clapping people. Mm. It was kind of scary. So I had that, this is many, many years ago, had that in the back of my mind and kept that idea and ran with it that many years later.
Wow.
Was there a second date? I'm guessing not.
never worked out, really. And she was so beautiful.
Well, you got a book out of it. You know, you got a great book out of it.
I did get a book out of it. I wonder if she's watching your podcast. I may hear from her.
Do you remember her name?
I it's really close. It was a foreign name. She was from Down Under, I think, Australia. To go with the attractive woman, and she was smart and funny too. But
Yeah, with the accent there too, that'll get you every time.
I do like accents.
I know it gets you.
Yeah.
Right, mate, good eye.
Yeah. Yeah, you just think, well, talk a little more to me.
Nicole Kidman is a lot more attractive when she's speaking in her...
isn't that...
Yeah.
And I'm watching a great... We don't need to digress. I know we don't have a huge amount of time, but
Watching
a great show now with Kate Blanchett called Mrs. America about the Phyllis Schlafly campaign.
Mm-hmm.
She was the anti-women's lib movement, the anti-feminist.
Uh-huh.
And Kate Blanchett plays her, and I think an Australian actress plays Gloria Steinem.
Oh, wow.
And they have the accents down perfectly.
Wow.
The Illinois accent for Phyllis Schlafly by Kate Blanchett.
Wow.
And then the, I can't remember the actress from Australia, but she nails Gloria Steinem's wow. accent perfectly. That's what acting's all about. That's why I will never act, frankly. Well, I mean, that among other reasons as well.
I'm curious now, after reading your book, what I've been doing here is I've been analyzing all of my future actions. This is what you have your main character, Coulter Shaw, do, is what he does. He analyzes all his future actions using a percentage system. Now, when I woke up this morning, I felt there was an 80% chance that there was enough milk for my cereal. There was, all right? There was a 90% chance, and this is different in this day and age, there was a 90% chance I would actually be entertained by watching a congressional hearing this morning. I actually was. It's shocking. Have you been doing this yourself? I've been really keeping myself highly entertained doing these percentages.
Well, there's very little of myself in the books. I distance myself. I always ask myself, what's best for the reader? I want my books, as I told you, my prototype. I want them to move very quickly.
Yeah.
And so I happen to like literary writing, but I would never dare put that in my book. Not that I have the skill to do it, but because that's not what readers want or expect.
Different type of book.
But one thing that did come that about myself that did end up in the books is the maybe not the literal percentage thing that Coulter Shaw does, but I certainly have a very analytical personality. And I was attorney, I was a journalist for a while, I was an attorney for a while, and I always look at things and think, what is going to be the best approach? Well, what's your goal and what's the most efficient way to achieve it? And if you do anything other than that, then maybe that's not your goal. Maybe you need another goal or want another goal. And so I decided to make it a little cuter and create the percentage thing that I thought readers might smile at. And you know, maybe they take it away. And look at the possible date I had. Talk about a second date. So she called me back and said, well, I guess you're not right for the cult, Jeff. Okay. They didn't call it a cult, of course.
Right.
And she said, but let's just have coffee or go out for a drink sometime. I'll tell you what, if I were Coulter Shaw, or back then, what I would have thought, without maybe putting these percentages on it, I would have thought, attractive, funny, love the accent. Accent boosted up to maybe a 20% chance of it working out.
Yeah.
And then I would think 80% chance this could be a complete disaster. So I would say no. Unless, of course, I looked at a picture again and I said, you know, let's make it 60%. What could really go wrong?
That's true.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, it's just a coffee. I mean, So speaking of good-looking people, what was it like to have Denzel, the great Denzel Washington, act out a character that you created that came from you?
I was so awed by that experience. Mm. The transformation from books to films is something I don't want to be a part of. I love movies. I think it's a combination of immensely talented people. I just don't work well with others. And I have complete control over the books, largely complete control over them. But whenever Hollywood or TV makes a produced version of my book, I just think it's wonderful. It's like paid advertising for me.
That's true. Books really start selling.
NBC TV show that just came out. Russell Hornsby and Ariel Bell, which is very good. James Garner was an HBO movie of mine.
Yep.
And so I had a thing on Lifetime Network a few years ago. Mm. I think it's just great. But you mentioned Denzel. This is very interesting, who I've always admired as an actor.
Me too.
As well as being a star.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's, you don't see that all the time. I look at people like Ethan Hawke, who actually started with Denzel Training Day. He's an actor as well as a star. Angelina, who played Amelia in the movie. Yeah. Now, there are people who are just pure stars.
Right.
And you know, with all respect, Stallone is a star. And he's, you know, is he the actor in the sense I mean actor like Ralph Fiennes? No, he's not.
Right.
And that's not to disparage him because it's a, you know, it's a niche business, Hollywood is. Mm-hmm. And then there are some actors, very esoteric actors, who, you know, really are not stars. They make brilliant, modest films, but they never become stars. But Denzel is the combination of the two.
Yeah.
And to see him reciting, and Angelina too, reciting lines that I had used in the book, because my books are very dialogue oriented.
Right.
And so the scriptwriter just took it with, you know, I sold it to him. He could do that. And to see him saying my lines, I still get chilled thinking about it.
Oh, that's awesome.
I bet. What a joy. And too, he's really one of our best living actors right now, I would think.
And so versatile.
Yeah. And good looking.
And good looking. He's a star. I think one of the prerequisites is to be good looking. All right, real quick, it's time for our speed round segment we call Fast Eight. Eight quick questions to find out a little bit more about you. Jeffrey Deaver, are you ready?
Go.
Okay. Something that people often get wrong about you.
They think I'm a great musician because I was a folk singer, and I'm not.
Oh, a folk singer. I did not know that. Last show you watched and or binged and really liked.
Ozark,
yeah. Right. Movie you would not skip past while flipping through the channels.
Michael Clayton.
Oh, yeah.
Good one.
One book you'll never forget.
Lord of the Rings.
Favorite procrastination activity.
I have to say housework. My assistant is off for the pandemic. I vacuumed once in the last month. I didn't enjoy it. It's not happening again.
Vacuuming's the worst. No, it's the worst. Yeah, favorite meal.
Cocoa van. Made with a particular French wine. That's a chicken fricassee dish, like a casserole with a I call it Givry Chambertin. It's a cocoa van. The wine is a red Bordeaux that I just love.
Oh wow!
Go to karaoke song. If you were pressed into doing karaoke, what song would you go with?
I don't do karaoke, but I never have. But if I did, I think I'd do Forever Young by Bob Dylan.
Love Bob Dylan. And what book, this is the last question, what book are you currently reading?
I'm reading a lot of research books for my new Lincoln Rhyme book, which will be out next year. Did you like that segue into pure marketing?
Yeah, it was brilliant.
I can't tell you. I'm reading some fascinating books, but I can't tell you what they are because that gives away the theme.
But I guess
the one I'd mention is Broken by Don Winslow. It's a I love short form fiction, and it's a series of, I think, six novellas. And Winslow is great, whether he's writing about surfing or about the cartels.
It's amazing. So, great. I listened to that one. Really good one. All right, Jeffrey Deaver.
We know you have to
go. Thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Okay, really. And I hope we get together again sometime. It was great.
We'd love to do it. We'd love to do it.
Okay, take care.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye. The Inside Flap. All right, there you go. That was Jeffrey Deaver. Great time. Really appreciate you that. Thanks, Jeff, for dropping by and taking the time to be a super nice guy and talk all about your excellent new book, The Goodbye Man. So thanks for that. That's our show for this week. We'll be back this weekend for the Inside Flap edition, where we'll have another author interview and book recommendations and an audiobook of the week as well. So until then, my name is Dave Medicus. We'll see you later.
Adios.
If you want to pick your nose or anything, just go right ahead.